Today on Real Radio.
God will speak, and you and I will stand up and say, I know. And I think that's why this current time in our nation and in our world, and this oncoming Islamic threat to America and Europe has seized my heart so much.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in the Old Testament book of Judges. Now, you may have heard the term, putting a fleece before the Lord. Well, this comes from the portion of Scripture we're looking at, Judges chapter 6 and verses 33 through 40. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a presentation called Using Your Faith.
Gideon is going to embark upon doing that thing. If God would have told Gideon, say to this mountain, get up and go over there, then the burden of action would have been upon Gideon, not God. Watch me, listen, hang on. God says, do this thing, and now Gideon is to obey what the Lord has said or asked of him to do. We're not to debate it with God. I know we debate it. Don't we debate it? We debate with God. He doesn't want our opinion. He doesn't want to guess or have us guess about it. He doesn't want us to have our input into it. God says, I want you, Jack, to do this thing. And we're to do that in obedience to him because that's what he's asked us to do. Gideon responds as a hero in faith because he obeys what God says to do. Yes, he tests the water, but he wants to be sure. If God would tell Gideon, move the mountain, Gideon's responsibility now is to get up and move the mountain. If God says to you and I, Jack, you know, Karen, Mike, Susie, Roy, don't move the mountain. I want you to go and do this thing, whatever it is. Church, fill it in the blank of your life. What is it in your life that the Lord has been telling you to do and you're not doing it because you're afraid you're going to flop? You can't do that. Your input's not important. Mine is not important. God says, Jack, do this. I am to do it and do it joyfully unto the Lord. But Jack, it's impossible. Of course it's impossible. It's impossible, but not with the Lord. See, again, don't let that verse in Matthew anymore discourage you. Because if God were to tell you to go move a mountain, you're to obey him and go do it. See, we worry about the things that God didn't tell us to do. Oh, that'll never happen. How could that be? I don't believe it. Well, stop worrying about those things. Do what God has told you to do, and you will see, in a sense, mountains be moved. Maybe God is saying to you, I want you to step up and get moving in a ministry in this direction or that direction or whatever it might be. What's he saying to you? Do that thing. Don't sit and bicker. Don't sit and argue. Don't sit and debate with him about it. Go do it. And you'll see the impossible become possible because God will be the one doing it. Faith is not used to do what we want. It is used to enable us to do what God wants. I'm going to say that again. Faith is not used to do what we want. It is used to enable us to do what God wants. Do you think that's a good quote? I hope so, because I made it up today. I like that one. The Lord laid that on my heart. Jack, faith is not used to do whatever you want, Jack. The truth of the matter is faith, it's used to enable us to do what God wants us to do. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12 says, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. In other words, they should have grown up and moved on. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only in milk, that is spiritual foundational food, not deeper food, is unskilled in the word of righteousness, and he is just a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age. That is, those who by reason, here it is, of use, have their senses exercised to discern good and evil. That's a strong believer. Thirdly, under this first point, applying faith to the word of the Lord is to rest in what God has said to us, to rest in what he has said. Now, the Bible says here to us that all Manasseh, who also gathered behind him, that he also sent out messengers to Asher and Zebulun and Naphtali. These are the other tribes, and they came and they met him. God is doing amazing work. You guys, this guy goes from hiding out to being the leader now. You know what? Is that true in your life? Has God done that in your life? I mean, you don't need to confess anything here today, but the truth of the matter is, I've never read anywhere, at any time, any place, that there are born leaders. There are no such thing as born leaders. Leaders are made. They're made when a leader, as it were, in embryo, a leader, as it were, infantile, is growing up. And how does a leader grow up? By following a leader. The amazing thing is you will become like the leader you're following. Your children will become like you. And then when we graduate to other things, you will become like those you are following. It may be that you're mimicking a corporate leader that you know of, or maybe it's a community leader, or maybe it's somebody in your neighborhood, highly respected, or somebody that is almost a hero in exploits for greatness. Maybe it's Abraham Lincoln. I love that guy. Or George Washington. Who is it that you're mimicking your life after? You say, well, I'm not mimicking my life after anybody. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. You and I are programmed to do that. We talked a little bit about that last week. Now, Gideon, God is making a leader out of him. More, think about our young people today. I believe that our young people today are growing up in the most hostile age that Christianity may ever see in history past. I think the days that are ahead of us are very, very brutal days. And our kids are not running away. They're stepping up. Their faith is growing. They have valiant faith. They're bold. God bless them. Listen, Christian, you and I can always count on the Lord to be mighty in our lives. And he's doing it in Gideon's life, and he's going to do it in our life. Listen, you can rest because of this. Your faith, as Gideon's faith, will be honoring to God. And it will be real biblical faith. What a beautiful thing that is today to have real biblical faith. Church, there's a lot of faith out there, but some of it's in some weird stuff. To have biblical faith that had never failed you in life or death. And then you can know that you can live your life chapter by chapter, verse by verse, as you put your faith in the Word of God and lean upon Him, applying God's truth. I don't want to belabor this. You can mark it down in your margins there. But Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 10. I'll just paraphrase it. Read it later. Read it to your kids. Read it to your husband. Read it to your wife. Read it to yourself. What a great verse or portion of scripture this is. In Joshua chapter 1, here's Joshua. God has called him to lead 2.5 million or more Jewish people, the children of Israel, over into the promised land. Moses is now dead. They're going to get ready to cross over the Jordan River from the Jordanian side of the river today over to the Israeli side, promised land side. And as they get ready to go, there's an amazing thing that takes place. Joshua must be having, I don't know if it's doubts, maybe that's too strong. He's having fears, certainly. And the Lord speaks to him and says, don't be afraid. Why did God say that to Joshua? Because he was afraid. When you hear words like, take courage, why does God say that to you? Because we have no courage. Peace, be peace, don't worry, be calm. Why? Because we're about ready to jump out of our seats. So God speaks to us. And so God speaks to Joshua and tells him, don't be afraid, I'm going to be with you. Don't look at their faces. You're going to get all freaked out. You keep your eyes on me. I have a friend who's a pastor of a very, very large church. And he's been pastoring for 30 years. And he said he cannot look into the eyes of the people in the congregation. That's just his thing. He says it terrifies him. It scares him. And he said that he looks just toward the back of the wall, just over their heads, and it looks like he's looking at all of them. But that's the way he's wired. He gets fearful. Even though God has said, don't be fearful. I'm not fearful of looking into your faces tonight. That doesn't bother me. Or into the camera tonight. That doesn't bother me. What bothers me are things like this. When I'm going to share Jesus with someone, alone, it's easy to speak to a large crowd of people. I had a chance to stand before Anaheim Stadium on the Harvest Crusade, and there's 60,000 people sitting there. It's easy. You can't see their faces. I can see your faces here. But what's more terrifying than anything for me is to speak to somebody alone, just them and I, together, about Jesus Christ. I get butterflies, my mouth gets dry, I start getting all, what am I going to say? What am I going to do? I'm telling you this right now because that's exactly what happened yesterday. A couple of us went over to Cal Poly Pomona, and you know, the Muslims set up their witnessing booth there, and they share Islam from about 11 o'clock to 2 o'clock in the afternoon there every Tuesday. And so we went there to talk to them and to share Jesus with them. And right when I was walking up to Ahmed, I said, oh, God, help me. And I was terrified. But as soon as you cross that line, you know, as soon as you step over that line and you break the ice, as it were, we would say break the ice, God fills your mouth. I didn't know what, if you were going to ask me 30 seconds before I said whatever I said to Ahmed, if you would have asked me, what are you going to say? I had no clue. But I knew God was on my side because I was in the Word. Having stepped out, there was strength there, not knowing what was going to happen, only this, God would be faithful. And for a little over an hour, him and I had an amazing, wonderful dialogue. And he asked me, will you come back and talk to me more next week? And I told him I'm going to do my best to do that, but I will go back and see him again. I gave him a Jesus as Messiah, a DVD in Arabic, and he promised to read the Gospel of John for me. And I told him, mark the verses that bother you. And so he's supposed to mark these verses. God did that. What we're to do is to rest in what God has provided and not be afraid. We've got to do that. Point number two this evening is this. Using your faith in verses 36 to 37 is making sure it is of the Lord. Making sure that it is of the Lord. Verses 36 to 37, so Gideon said to God, if, or since, it can be translated, you will save Israel by my hand, as you have said, look, I shall put a fleece of wool on the threshing floor. So that's up on top of the hill. If there is dew on the fleece only, and it is dry on all the ground, then I shall know that you will save Israel by my hand, as you have said. He's not unbelieving. He wants to be sure. How do we know? How do we make sure that the Lord is leading us? Well, jot these things down, beginning with this one, prayer. We must prayerfully seek him, always. Gideon is seeking God. Can you not see this? Of course you can. Gideon didn't run to his neighbors. He didn't run to somebody. He didn't ask for help. He didn't pick up a 1-800 line and call, you know, some Bible call-in program. He went right to God. God was the only one that could answer his question, and God was the only one that was going to answer his question, and Gideon took his refuge of answer in the Lord. And he says, Lord, now look, in our Bibles it says, if. It can also be translated, since. Since you're going to do this, here's what I'd like to know. I want to be sure. I'm going to have you answer this fleece, this thing that would normally be impossible. God, will you do the impossible to speak to me, and I'll do whatever you tell me to do. I just want to make sure it's you. And in a sense, this is a beautiful prayer. He prays and he seeks the Lord. I think that's wonderful. But listen, Christian, all of us, when the Lord begins to awaken hearts and minds, there comes a desperate stirring to know what God's mind is, to know what God's heart is. And that's only gotten in prayer, by praying and waiting and hearing upon the Lord. So here, watch this, everyone. This is important to us. God speaks to Gideon, do this thing. Gideon says, okay, I'm going to do it, but can you make it sure it's happening in my life? Is this for real? And the process begins. You say, boy, I wish God would speak to me like that. I said this last week. I want to say it again so, so clearly. And listen, I'm going to step on some toes intentionally. For some of you, God is preparing an answer. You're seeking him, and you've been crying out to him, and he's going to answer you. He will answer you, guaranteed. You are asking him about ministry. You're asking about direction. You're asking for his perfect will to be done, and you're seeking him. He's going to answer you. But listen, some of you are asking God to speak to you for the sheer jollies of it. Some of you are asking God to speak to you, and nothing's happened yet. I got news for you. Nothing's going to happen. You want to know why? Unlike Gideon, you're kind of goofing off. Hey, let's see if God will speak to me. He will not speak to you, just like he will not empower you by the Holy Spirit coming upon you, because, my friend, you've got no trumpet to blow, you've got no Midianites to attack, you've got no nation to defend, because you're not standing for anything, you're barely sitting for anything. Why would God empower you? For what reason? Why would he pour out the Holy Spirit on you when you have determined not to obey him, not to go anywhere with him? God wastes nothing. Didn't Jesus say, wait in Jerusalem until the power of the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and then you shall go and be witnesses of me in Jerusalem, Samaria, and Judea, and the othermost parts of the earth? Did not he give first the assignment and then say, wait for the power to do it? So listen, I love all of you, but some of you, you don't intend to do anything with your Christianity. But you want to hear God speak. He's not going to speak to you. Well, I want to know if I should go left or go right. You've got to get desperate before him. God wants to speak to Gideons. And that's my prayer for all of us, that that's who we would be. But we need to pray. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. You say, how does that verse apply? Because in the Greek, it's a continuous tense. Ask, keep on asking. Seek, keep on seeking. Knock, keep on knocking. Knock, 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 until God says, who's there? And he's going to answer. We need to stop for a moment and think about that in our lives. What is the Lord telling you and I to do? Have we been asking, seeking, and knocking to find out what his will is in our lives? If so, what is he saying? Secondly, under this point, making sure that it is of the Lord, is that we must willingly engage ourselves. We must willingly engage ourselves. We've got to get into the flow. We can look at the river going by all day long and see everybody floating down and having a great time. But if you really want to enjoy your river trip, you got to get in the water. You can go to the beach and look at all the people riding the waves and enjoying the water and the sun and all of the fun that we enjoy at the beach. But it's only academic, as it were, until you get into the water. A Christian has been designed to live and use and exercise his faith, and that is to willingly engage ourselves in this spiritual life that God has called us to do, called us to live. In putting this together, I thought about this. If there ever comes a day in the Christian church that the church begins to lean upon or rest upon or call for motivational speakers to get us involved in ministry, motivational speakers to get us to be givers of our money and of our time and efforts, if the Christian church around the world has got to bring in a motivational speaker to pump you up, then we are sicker than I thought. We have left the Holy Spirit in our lives. Can you imagine? To bring in a motivational speaker into the work of God to stir you up? You know, those guys can stir people up to do anything. What's the option? There is no option. There's only a true relationship with God. The Spirit of God must speak to your heart and my heart about serving him, loving him, and being willingly engaging in what God's work is all about. And I thank God for Gideon. He is getting involved. And as a Christian, the bottom line is we're to be motivated by the cause of Christ. The cause of Jesus Christ. Whatever motivated Jesus to leave heaven, to come to this rotten earth, what motivated him should be my motivation. Jesus loves people. That's why he came. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews chapter 12 that Jesus loved us so much that it was a joy for him to go to the cross. I can't understand that. I just have to believe that. That's what the Bible says. In Isaiah 53 verse 11, the Bible says that the Father, the Lord, God, shall see the labor of his soul, that's Jesus, and be satisfied. And by his knowledge of my righteous servant shall he justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. God was pleased when Jesus came and died on the cross for our sins. So what should motivate me? The next Tony Robbins seminar or the next Donald Trump, you know, session? The very Word of God, the very cause of Christ should cause you and I to use these feet until they're tired to get the Word of God out and to love people, to visit people that are in the hospital. We have people in this church that are hospitalized. We've got people that are hurting. The ministers, the pastors, and the lay staff that's here at this church can't do it all. You've got to get engaged because God has loved you so much. It's what we must do. Making sure also that it is of the Lord this way, verse 37, that we must actively serve him. We must actively serve the Lord. It says in verse 37, then I shall know, says Gideon, that you will save Israel by my hand as you have said. What a great word. Then I shall know. Then I shall know. I'm assuming that when you and I, like Gideon, know what we're to do, then wild horses cannot stop us, nor angels from heaven or demons from hell shall stop us. Church, please. Gideon said, then I shall know. And that's my prayer for my life. That's my prayer for your life tonight. Dear God in heaven above, may each of us in the ministry that you've called us together to perform for your glory, may we do that thing. May we hear from you as we seek you with all of our hearts, turning off the TV and off the radio and listening and waiting and calling out to glorify you, God, in our lives. God will speak. And you and I will stand up and say, I know. I know what I'm to do. And I thank God. For now, I'm standing here. I say for now because I don't know what God's going to say about my life in the future. My passion, my heart is to reach the church of Jesus Christ with the building up of his people in Bible teaching. I'm not a very good evangelist in the broad sense, but I do love, though it terrifies me, to evangelize people one-on-one, but to go to the lost. And I think that's why this current time in our nation and in our world and this oncoming Islamic threat to America and Europe has seized my heart so much.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation called Using Your Faith. It's taken from the last 8 verses of Judges chapter 6. Currently, Pastor Jack is also teaching a series called Life and the Bible. Many parts of Scripture contain practical wisdom, tips, suggestions, certainly commands, on how to live, not just what to believe. Well, Pastor Jack takes us through them in this series, Life and the Bible. This week, for a gift of any amount in support of Real Radio, we'll send you Pastor Jack's message on DVD called Being a Christian at Your Job. Now, whether you call, click, or write, be sure and ask for Being a Christian at Your Job. It's part of the Life and the Bible series by Pastor Jack. Visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Or you can send in your contribution to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Our telephone number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. And of course, all of our contact information can be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight. Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.